Hi, I'm Josh. I was born in poverty-laden Flint, Michigan to a blue-collar working family. I went from pulling weeds, washing dishes, and delivering pizzas to building a small business doing over $150,000 a month. I sold it and moved to Costa Rica with my wife and four kids. And on this podcast, we explore the secrets and the strategies that I used to win. Building your business is one of the hardest things you will ever do. So let me finally help you automate, grow, and someday sell your company. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining me here on the Quick Talk Podcast. My name is Joshua Latimer, but you already know that. And I am in Michigan traveling, and you're not going to believe that I'm talking to a guy today named Chris Reed, who's in Cambodia right now. Where the heck is Cambodia? And he's originally from, I think, Australia, and he's an SEO expert. In fact, he claims he's the coolest guy in SEO, so I'll make him defend that in a minute. But Chris, how are you today?
Thank you for the introduction there, Joshua. I appreciate it.
So, Cambodia. I mean, let's not even talk about business yet. Let's not even talk about the struggles of the small business owner. What are you doing in Cambodia?
It was rather happenstance how I came here. I was living in Siberia in Russia and building my business there.
What?
And...
Oh, you just say it so casually. You're just like, well, you know, like everybody else, like most people, I was in Siberia, and the next natural choice was Cambodia.
The Russian winter is just so brutal. It really kicked my ass, and I just called my dad and said I can't handle it anymore. And he happened to be just passing through Phnom Penh in Cambodia. I said, you wait there. I'll be there in a couple of days.
So did you grow up with parents who really cultivated that world traveler mentality? I mean, because you're from Australia. I also know you've worked in Europe. You lived in Siberia, and now I don't even know what you're doing in Cambodia. That's not normal. You know that, right?
Well, I don't know. It's kind of normal to me.
Well, yeah, to me, it's becoming more normal because I moved to Costa Rica. But, you know, you're a techie guy, too. You're a software engineer. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm a software engineer. So yeah, I grew up in Australia, studied in Australia, and pretty much as soon as university finished, I went world traveling. I moved to London, and you know, it's all history from there.
It's really fascinating. Excuse me. Tell me a little bit about Ardor SEO, and you know how you got involved in that, and why a little tiny business in Arkansas, United States, would really care about SEO, or why they should care.
Yeah, well, I mean, how I fell into SEO was after the financial crisis. So I lost my job in London. I was working in finance, like a lot of software engineers. I went back to Australia, licking my wounds, and was learning some new software, trying to learn how to do some web programming. And so I built this little game just as a bit of fun. And then as the game was coming to fruition, I went, well, how do you get people to play it? And so I started learning about SEO. But then I got itchy feet again and wanted to go traveling. But because of the global financial crisis, there was no jobs to be had in the SEO world. And so I was like floating around and trying to make a quid online. And turns out I could do that okay. And I was doing it through SEO, helping small businesses, you know, rank their websites.
A lot of this stuff with SEO is pretty basic, right? I mean, it's not all of it is rocket science, but so many people neglect it. And for me, you know, I would like to believe that I can notice trends, right? And you don't have to be a genius to know that everything is going digital. Consumers find service providers and products digitally. Everybody goes to Google to look for all the stuff we buy. So if you're a small local company and you're not noticing that that's moving in that direction, you're just really setting yourself up for pain and suffering, aren't you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, how do you find anything? If your toilet's broken, you grab your phone and go, you know, plumber, wherever I am. You know, if you're looking for a new cafe. I mean, I just spent a month traveling around California, and you know, I know nothing in California, and so I was just using my phone for everything, looking at reviews on Yelp and of cafes, Google Maps for cafes. It was fabulous. I, you know, felt just at home. And if you're not taking advantage of that, I mean, that's how I found every meal that I'd eat. You know, I used my phone to find it. You know, if you're not taking advantage of that, then you're crazy.
Yeah, and younger people are starting to have money now. I'm kind of my generation, that the 25 to 35 year old age bracket, they're the homeowners now. They're starting to hire service providers, and we've been raised in the internet age, and so our default is never going to be to grab a phone book or to grab some piece of paper to track someone down. It's always going to be digital. So before we get into what people can do, because I would love for you to share some like practical tips with people and what they could do, you know, today to just help their positioning with SEO. But I want to talk about your claim. Your claim to be the coolest guy in SEO. And I'll throw you a bone. Like, you've traveled the world. That's pretty cool. I'll give you that. Like, you've lived in Siberia. I've never talked to someone who's lived in Siberia. That's amazing. Why are you so cool and everybody else is less cool?
It started out one of our clients in Nashville, Tennessee, who's a very cool guy. He's a muso. He started just teasing me with the coolest guy in SEO. You know, I'm a computer geek. I'm a software engineer, and it just kind of got passed around the office, and then started getting passed around on the internet, and you know, here I am.
Well, now that's just who you are. Now, are you married? Or do you have kids?
I don't know.
No, okay. Because when you are married, I wonder if you can convince your wife to call you the coolest guy in SEO.
yeah, that will be something. That'll be branding.
That will be a challenge. In the beginning, it might be easy, but hey, my 14-year wedding anniversary is tomorrow, and I don't think I could get her to call me the coolest guy in SEO. Anyway, so what can a little business do, you know, right now, that could really help them get their phone to ring more, to get ranked higher? You know, to as non-technical as possible, what are some low-hanging fruit items that people could focus on?
One thing that I think is really missed often is, what's your website trying to do, and how what interaction do you expect from a customer or a visitor? Do you want them to call you? Do you want them to email you? One thing, if you're sitting at your desk, because if you're a lawyer or an accountant or whatever, you know, there's plenty of free software that you can have to have live chat support on your website. You know, so many people love to just chat rather than pick up the phone, you know. Like Talk2 is one that I highly recommend. It's 100% free. It's really easy to install. You know, and then a visitor comes to your website where you can see that a visitor's there, and you can send them a message. Hey, do you need help with that? You can see what they're doing on your website, if they're going to whatever pages. So you can start looking at your visitors as well. You know, like, that's the difference between a website and a shop, right? You can see that your visitors go and browse over at that aisle, and you know, if they were continually leaving without liking anything on that aisle, then you might ditch all those products.
Right, so, right. That's a good point. And we have we use Intercom for the software company I have, which is, you know, that's more of an expensive product, but it's the same concept. I mean, you can talk to people in real time as they're looking at your stuff, and that's pretty powerful. I mean, some small businesses, though, Chris, they don't maybe have the bandwidth or the resources to do that. what are some things they could do to just populate organically in their local area better that would help them?
Yeah, make sure you got a Google Maps listing. That's really important. Make sure it's correct. Yeah, you know, check. Hopefully, you got nice pictures there. Add some yourself if you don't. You know, like, so if you're a cafe and someone's Googling cafe, you know, Google shows the local cafes, right? Make sure you've got the nicest result. The images show a good cafe. Like, one thing I noticed a lot in California when I was traveling is lots of people would have pictures of food or whatever, or coffee. You know, I was generally looking for a place to work. So I was like trying to find places that had pictures of actually what their chairs and stuff were like, so if I could go there and get a table. So I think you should try and think about what your customers are doing and how they're finding you, and how you can present that information in the way that they want to see it. You know, like, if you were a really great cake shop, then yeah, you should just show pictures of your great cakes, because you don't really want people to come and sit in there and, you know, use their laptops like a coffee shop does. So, right. You know, display your business how your customers would like to see you.
Yeah, and I see a lot of guys, they do everything really quickly. It's like they don't spend the time to get quality photography or to really write out their descriptions correctly and really go above and beyond. But that's a huge mistake. And it's not difficult to spend a little extra time to make it awesome, because especially if you have a lot of local competition, don't you want your listing? You have about what, 5 seconds to captivate somebody to get that business. And for us, now our podcast talks to service companies, so like contractors and people that go in your home and they perform a service for you. But to really stand out from the crowd, what you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, is when they go to your website, don't use your website like a brochure, like, hey, here's the stuff we do. Use it is a tool to engage them either through live chat or move them to different parts of the website to display the type of work you do in a unique way with high level photography and stuff, because you want to keep them kind of on your site and you want them to take action, right? I mean, a lot of service companies have really high bounce rates because their websites are just like a business card. Like, there's nothing cool on it. What can you do to help with that?
Testimonials are fabulous, but like if you've got a real guy that's saying, hey, I bought this hammer and geez, it smacks nails great. Well, that really stands for a lot. So the more you can make your site really authentic, that it relates to the person, your type of customer. If your customers are carpenters and you got real carpenters all over the website and it reads like a carpenter speaks, then you're gonna just have such a better interaction. And one way I like to think of it is it's like growing a fruit tree, right? The work you do today is going to just keep paying and paying and paying. Like you get to pick fruit from that fruit tree for the next 20 years. It's the same as your website. Spend a little bit of extra time making the content nice, or your Google Maps listing or your Facebook page. Make it nice and it'll keep on paying.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. You got to think long term about this stuff. And once it's out there, it's just out there for like ever. And so spend the time to do it the right way for sure. And when someone searches for a service, it's almost like you're going on a first date with someone. You have like a couple of moments to really wow them and to be different. And you're not going to go on a date with a beautiful woman and wear all of your crappiest clothes and put in the bare minimum effort. I mean, maybe you do, but that's crazy. But with our customers, it's very similar, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the website being of decent quality, then you assume that they're a decent company. If no one wants to work with a broke ass company, right? So if it looks cheap, then you go, well, they're probably cheap, and whatever service they provide is probably cheap. And if that's the customer that you're going for, then maybe it'll work great.
Yeah. So in Cambodia, do they do SEO in Cambodia, or are you just traveling for leisure while working remotely? And tell me a little bit about that and a little bit about how you started Ardor and kind of the experience so far. Tell us a little bit about your company and what's going on in Cambodia.
So we got two offices, one in Davao in the Philippines, and it's the second biggest city in the south. That's where we have the majority of our staff because, well, Filipinos, they have the best English for a non-native English speaking country, good skilled labor, and it's a great place. It's a great place for business. But with Cambodia, because I really like Cambodia, and here there's a lot more access to expat staff. So in the SEO world, some things you really do need a native English speaker, like especially content things. And some of the stuff we do is very technical, and so you might need an engineering degree of a level that comes from a Western country. And so here we've got pretty much all Western expat staff, So that's the difference between our two offices.
Okay, well, that makes sense. I actually have a virtual assistant from the Philippines, and you're right. They speak really good English. They're highly educated, but the cost of living is so different. So you can get a lot of leverage out of your dollar when you're working with someone over there rather than someone in the States who's, really expensive and can provide basically the same set of skills. Well, as far as your company, how long have you been in business, and has it been smooth sailing the whole time? Have you had any struggles? Tell us about some of those things.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, so I kind of, as I briefly mentioned before, I kind of started the business by happenstance. but ran out of money and went back and got a job. But I was still working on my business part-time and saving up, you know, some bankroll. Then when I had enough money, that's when I actually moved to Siberia.
Well, of course. So that's why we all save our money, so that someday, with a little luck, we can move to Siberia, right?
I had been planning on moving to the Philippines, as I already had a lot of online staff that worked in the Philippines. I knew it would be a great place for business. But this beautiful Russian woman come and stole my heart.
Oh, no. I knew that there had to be some. I know you didn't go there just for the wolves and the snow and the grizzly bears. Oh, very interesting. Very interesting. So what kind of services does your company provide for people? And, you know, why would they, you know, spend money? Because contractors are very wary of SEO companies, because there's all these companies out there that really just kind of scam you. You don't really understand what you're getting. You spend money on this, and then they just tell you, oh, you got to wait 3 months. You got to wait 6 months. You got to, and that's true to some degree, but there's a lot of deception out there. I mean, SEO is a very abstract thing for a normal, local, non-technical business person. What would you say to that guy? What can you offer them? And do you agree? I mean, the industry's weird, right?
100% agree. I mean, so we're actually pretty much the SEO guys, the SEO guy. I'd say 80% of our customers are SEO companies. And so we talk to SEO guys all the time, and it boggles my mind sometimes how little they know. And I'm like, how do you even have an SEO business? Like, what?
Well, like, they don't. They just have a sales machine, right? And then they subcontract your company to actually do the SEO. Is that what's happening there?
Not all of our customers, but some. So we started off providing backlinks, which is basically what our Philippines office does. So backlinks are like what really – it's kind of the what makes your website an authority and what promotes it externally. And so what we have here in the Cambodian office is expat staff doing the on-site SEO, dealing with the configuration of your website. So those two kind of have to be married together.
Okay, so explain that in the terms of a local guy. What does he do? What does he pay? What does he get?
So, I mean, the first thing to do when you are, well, an SEO company should do when they have a new customer is ask them, what are you trying to achieve? Where do you want to be? I mean, where do you want to be in 6 months? Where do you want to be in 12 months? Who's your ideal customer? How do they contact you? What do you want your website to do? Do you want it to capture leads? You know, like a lot of digital marketing companies, it's the website's not really there to get someone to pick up the phone. You're usually trading some sort of information, like here's a free report or, you know, PDF in exchange for your name and email. Because generally in digital marketing services, it takes a long time and a lot of trust to make a sale, and there's less urgency. Like, if your toilet's broken, well, you're calling a plumber and you need that fixed now, right? So you're picking up the phone, and whoever you call is going to get the job probably.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So you really need to work out what it is that you're trying to achieve. And so then the next step, what we do is an audit. And so we'll look at your website and look at your rankings and see where you are and, you know, how far away you are at achieving that goal, and then put out a plan on the best way to get there. But one thing that we try and do is to make sure that you got a positive ROI as quickly as possible. It's like, I mean, SEO is like any other form of marketing. If you put in $1,000, you expect to get more than that, you know, very quickly.
Yeah, and you worked in finance, even though you're a programmer. That's definitely got to be the thing that's happening, right? I mean, if you're putting money out there, you have to make more than the money you put out there.
Hopefully
a lot more, but that doesn't happen a lot. I mean, I hear horror stories about SEO stuff. I don't know a lot about, you know, the technical side of it, but why does that happen? I mean, what do some of these companies do that just doesn't work for local businesses, and what can you guys do different?
What the problem is the barrier to entry of market is so low. I mean, like, to be a plumber, you have to go and get a piece of paper. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what you need, but you need some sort of certification that says I'm a plumber, right?
Right.
And to buy a toolkit and some overalls. You know, you can put on a hat and go, I'm an SEO. It's the barrier to entry is so much lower. So it then brings in charlatans, which is a real pain in the ass because it makes it a lot harder for everyone else. But thankfully, Google's on our side, and you know, Google constantly does updates to shake out the rubbish. And you know, when they shake out the rubbish, they shake out our competition and leave us standing strong. So you know, I do like that.
That's really interesting, and I think all industries have an element of that. All industries that have low barriers to entry, you know, have this riffraff coming in, people always doing it for less, always, you know, selling on false promises and things like that. But, you know, given a span of time, those types of people tend to drift away. And, yeah. And so that's good. How can people get in contact with you if, you know?
One thing you just mentioned there, Joshua, which I'd like to mention, is like they always promise they'll do it for less. And so if you are looking for an SEO guy, don't just go to the cheapest one. Don't go to the one that spammed you, who's from India sending out a million emails a day. You know, that's what they're trying to pick, is the low hanging fruit. You know, some guy that's busy running his business, and you go, yeah, sure, $200. Well, now it's not the end of the world. And then you get burnt by some idiot. If you're going to get any digital marketing done, don't just go for the cheapest guy in town, because, well, you'll probably get what you paid for.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. And most of us run our businesses on the same principle, yet when we try to contract out services, there's always that temptation to pay the lower price. You know, you can pay a lower price right now and get burned, or you can pay a little bit more and actually have the thing work. I mean, that's the general idea anyway. So
I'm having some construction done at the moment on one of the offices, and yeah, I got a bunch of quotes, and I know nothing about construction, but thankfully my father does. And I like sent him some quotes. I went, oh, these ones are the best ones. He's like, are you kidding me? You just went with the cheap ones, you bugger.
Yep, it's always there as a temptation for all of us. And we got to keep fighting the good fight. You know, you with your company and me with my company, we don't want to be the cheapest. We want to be the best. We want to provide high levels of value for a really good price point, because everybody actually wins in that scenario. And you can build a real company at the end of the day, right?
100%.
Well, Chris, you know, like I mentioned before, most of our listeners are small contractors, small companies. They don't have time to dig into all this technical stuff. A lot of them might even be falling asleep listening to this right now, but they know it's important. You know, what can you do for that guy to help his business out? Is there anything you can offer specifically for businesses like that?
Well, sure, Joshua. You know, as a thank you for having me on your show, I'd like to offer a competition for your fans. So in the show notes, we'll have a link to a competition link where you can just put in your name and email, and that'll put you in the draw for an audit. And that's the audit that I was talking about before, that looks at, you know, the 200 points that Google used to rank websites. So we'll look at every one of those. You know, it's a huge piece of work. Depending on your website and, you know, what we find, it can come out to 60 to 80 pages worth of, you know, quality information that'll, you know, really help you exactly for your business. So, yeah, that's going to be free for one of your lucky listeners. And yeah, I'll provide the link on your show notes.
Okay, cool. So I'll put a link in, and basically you're going to pick a name out of a hat, and someone's going to win a really deep dive into their current web presence, their SEO, and you're going to give them a big giant report, tell them everything that's broken, everything that can be improved, totally for free, right?
That's exactly it, and you can announce the winner on your next show.
Well, how can people get in touch with you, Chris, if they want to reach out?
Yeah, so my personal email is Chris, with a K, K-R-I-S, at Ardor SEO. That's ArdorSEO.com.
Okay, Chris at ArdorSEO.com. If you have any questions for Chris, the world traveler, the coolest guy in SEO, who's been to Siberia and Cambodia, and what's your favorite place you've traveled to? What people are the nicest?
Yeah, that's such a tough question. I just spent a month in California, and man, it was breathtaking. It's such a beautiful place. But, you know, everything's so different. You try and compare that to a province of Cambodia, it's, well, totally different.
So the people in Cambodia, are they family-oriented? Are they nice, gentle people? What's the deal over there?
Very much so. I mean, they're very very old school. They're very family-oriented, very conservative. In fact, Hooters is opening up in Cambodia. And they are having their issue is they can't hire any staff because none of the girls will wear the uniform, because they're like, are you kidding me? That's too sexy.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. So it's like going back in time to 1950, you know, in the United States or something. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing, me personally. Chris, thank you so much for joining me today, taking the time. You have a great rest of your day.
Awesome, Joshua. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you loved today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.